From John chapter 19, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." It might not be as common as it once was, but I would guess that most of the adults, and some of the kids anyway, will be familiar with what I'm talking about here, especially when it was going to be an issue. It's nearing the end of a long meal. And I say long because the main dish or some side dish wasn't on what you'd call the favorites list. So there you sit. I don't want to eat that. But in the far distance on the counter or knowingly in the fridge is the most glorious dessert. And you know how this is going to go, right? Can I have dessert, please? Did you finish your plate? Well, no. You can't have dessert. You need to finish your plate or you can't have dessert. And from there, of course, it all depends on personalities, what is to be ingested that is now getting cold and or congealed on the plate, and in some cases, even a hair trigger gag reflex. I can't help but think of Jesus on the cross. At the table, so to speak, of the cross, he needs to choke down this sour wine to fulfill the scriptures and then be able to have it all done so that he can be finally released to what is the dessert of blessed relief from suffering in anticipation of a glorious dessert of rising from the dead on Easter Sunday in just a few days' time. And I don't mean to trivialize our Savior's suffering and death by comparing it to you and me sitting at the table refusing to choke down a slice of liver slathered in ketchup just so that I can get to the, I mean, anybody can get to the chocolate parfait that awaits. But let's be honest, when it comes to finishing, regardless of our motivation or the situation, we can't compare to what Jesus did on that cross. I mean, just think about how we tend to finish things in life. I mean, even if I choke down that slice of liver, there's still little bits of it that I leave behind intentionally. There's still some ketchup still smeared on the plate. It's not like I'm going to lick that plate clean just so that I can get the dessert. I'm going to eat as little and do as little as possible in order to get what I want in the end. And oftentimes, a frustrated parent will be fine if there's still a couple of cold peas still rolling around the plate. Fine, good enough. And in life, I challenge you to think of a single thing that actually is finished. I asked people through the week of if they could think of things that actually get finished in this world. And I would even say somebody brought up creation, which I thought was really good, but God still maintains it, right? He says until the end of time, he's going to continue to make the seasons go, seed time and harvest, fall and winter. Somebody else pointed to paintings that are done, you know, work of art. But if you talk to the artist, what do they usually say? I basically just stopped. I wasn't actually finished. Because you just keep tweaking, keep doing. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's always next time that we don't want to eat what's on our plate. Next time that we have to deal with this situation or that. Next time that we have to go through the next treatment. I mean, when you think about it, There is nothing that is actually finished in this world. It just keeps going. Except for that one day. That one time in all of human history when it was done. When it was finished. I mean, even the end of this world is just a transition into the new heavens and new earth where righteousness dwells. Even your end and mine in this world is but a transition into the life to come, be it to eternal death or to eternal life. But on that day when it mattered most, on that day when the very fate of humanity hung in the balance, when finished meant the difference between eternal life and eternal death for humanity, for you and me. Jesus didn't just say it. He did it. It is finished. And with a prayer that we just heard, the Lord of life died. It has made all the difference. Every once in a while, somebody will ask, say, Pastor, when's a good day to bring my friend to church? And you know what's behind it. And when are we going to be at our best, Pastor? When can I bring someone so that, you know, they get a good impression of us as a family of believers? And it's all good. There are so many great opportunities. Easter Sunday and Christmas Eve and kids are singing. It's all good and it's great. But what about today? What about Good Friday? I know that in our world we struggle with sadness. One writer talks about how Christianity today doesn't know how to lament. Because it's all about getting jazzed up for Jesus. It's all about joy and good times and good things and success. And then all of a sudden, bam, you're confronted by Good Friday. And a lot of people don't know how to deal with it because of the sin and the pain and the guilt. As we look at that cross and we know that the only reason Jesus is there is because of me. But that's why today is such a great day. Because today, as we look at that cross, we truly need to see and hear and feel and admit and express and receive and acknowledge Good Friday. We need to see our Savior's agonies on the cross and hear his cries of suffering, of his selfless sacrifice for you and me. We need to feel the raw passion of the moment and admit to ourselves the truth of who put him there. We need to be able to express the depths of our sorrow over sin and to receive from the God-man who hangs on that cross dying. We need to receive words of life and love and forgiveness and peace. This is the excruciatingly sublime juxtaposition. That is the cross. We know that we should be hanging there, yet there he is. We know that we should be dying there, and there he is. We know that we should be suffering there, and there he is. We know that it should be us. And yet it's not. And as we look, there's this incredible mix of sorrow because we know we're supposed to be there, yet thankfulness that, oh, I'm not there, and yet, oh no, somebody else has to be there for me, and yet he's willing to do that because he loves me. And it just round and round it goes on this day. Between joy and sadness, between guilt and elation. That's the day. That's why it's so good. Because of all the bad that our sinful nature can dredge up, all the accusations that Satan can make, all the ridicule and mockery that comes from the world, on this day, Jesus says, I love you this much. This is a Good Friday. And it is because it is good that we can be confident on this day that Jesus did what needed to be done. There he is, finishing what we started but could not finish ourselves. We needed him, and there he is, doing what needs to be done, saying what needs to be said, paying in full what needed to be paid in full, giving what needs to be given, finishing what needs to be finished, so that you and I would receive forgiveness of sins, new life, and eternal salvation. Oh, we know. Sin demands payment. It is a debt that we feel in our bones. And we know that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. But for this reason, his death took place as payment for our trespasses, as the writer to the Hebrews declares, so that we who are called would receive the promised eternal inheritance. So on this day, know this and rejoice. That he cried, it is finished, and did it, so that you and I will experience life that will never end. Oh, for all that wrought my pardon, for thy sorrows deep and sore, for thine anguish in the garden, I will thank thee evermore. Thank thee for thy groaning, sighing, for thy bleeding and thy dying, for that last triumphant cry, I shall praise thee, Lord, on high. Amen.